Let's just acknowledge the Lord again in prayer and just our dependency upon Him, okay? Lord, we acknowledge You, our Father in heaven, the Father of glory. And Jesus, we acknowledge You at the right hand of the Father as the Lord of glory. And we acknowledge Your Spirit with us inside believers forever and ever, and that You've made us Your house, Your dwelling place, a habitation of Yourself by Your Spirit. Ask You to increase the awareness of Your Spirit in us every day and our reliance upon Him to walk in the Spirit, to be led, to obey His leading and what You tell us to do through Him, what You highlight in Your Word. Lord, thank You for the gifts of Your Spirit that come from You, the Father of lights. Every good and every perfect gift. And that ultimately, You, Father, the Father of our spirit, are the overseer of our soul. And that You've given to us shepherds and evangelists and apostles and prophets and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ, to stand in the gap, to intercede. So Lord, deliver Your people. Shepherd them also. Bless Your inheritance and bear them up all their days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you brought your Bible, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 28. Yeah. Last Sunday night, God's specialty was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It was advertised as something to be taught and caught, demonstrated, and activated, and that it would be multiplied, and obviously that ministry glorified because His ministry excels in glory. And that His ministry, the ministry of the Spirit, is for all the Jesus people who make up the family of God, because we are a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in us and whom we receive from God. And just to tap into the potential of God's Spirit in us is amazing. And it's all for kingdom purposes. And you remember such things as you'll receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be My witnesses. How can we know the things of God except by the Spirit of God that's in us, so we can know the things of God? So there's so much potential of God placing His Spirit in us. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, we read, "And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." When you look at that list and you see that, maybe you don't see apostles that often or the apostolic ministry, and or prophets. And we see a lot of teachers. We see a lot of that. And but it should be pretty common. Gifts of healings, even the working of miracles. And we saw a number of miracles in Missouri when I pastored up there with physical bodies being, you would say healed, but it was, I have pictures of someone's brain that was, it was a miracle. And she wasn't allowed to have any, she couldn't have any children. So I knew her husband, and her dad was on our board, one of the elders. And maybe one day I'll show you, because we have a comparison. And it was in the service. It was so neat because a word of knowledge was given through a guest speaker. He sang and she preached, a beautiful team. And she had a word of knowledge and called her out. She didn't know her. And said something about what she's experiencing in her head and her brain. She had a headache every day just to comb her hair. Just caused her head to ache. And no exaggeration. And had a plate in there. It was amazing to see from that day forward that the word of knowledge was given and that Jesus was healing her, that she experienced no headaches. She has a baby today, and that's amazing. So it's amazing to see the comparison of her brain, and that went back to normal size. And that was a miracle. And so we saw miracles with nature, number of them, and not more than 10, but, you know, and gifts of healings, administrations, you know. Our brother Russell has a real gift of administration, and it's a gift, and he just flows in that, but it's still cultivated. So these things, they're appointed in the church. And as the church grows, it's important for people to come to know their giftings and their role to function in. The more that more people know that and operate in it, the healthier the church is. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the value of prophets and the gift of prophecy in the church. And number one, you see the value of it is that God has appointed prophets to be in the church. And so there is the office of a prophet, just as there's an office of a pastor, there's an office of an evangelist. But I evangelize, and I mean, wherever I go, but I'm not in the office as an evangelist, but I do the work of evangelism. I do more of the work of a pastor, but I also operate in the gift of prophecy. It seems like more and more, and there's just a heart that God's given to me with that to complement the office of a pastor to shepherd God's people. It's a gift, and you don't work for it, you don't buy it, but you desire it, it complements. And everyone can prophesy. The Bible is very clear that everyone can prophesy, but it doesn't mean that just because a person prophesies that they're in the office of a prophet. And there's a distinction there. It's important to know the word and about those in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. But we see the value of a prophet, the very fact that God appointed them in the church. And the gift of prophecy is very important. So the next thing I want to say about prophets, if you go to Ezra chapter 6, prophets encourage and exhort the body of Christ, especially in their work, they're called to do, even to the point of them prospering in the will of God. Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. So the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah. And of course, and then they built and they finished it according to the commandment of God. But notice how the prophets operating in a role, prophesying to them, and we don't have all the prophecies. They have. We just know they did. But they actually prospered through the prophesying of these prophets. Because when you prophesy by the unction of the Holy Spirit, there's power that's being released. There's a lot of encouragement, and people are exhorted. It's like putting wind in the sails. And so they prospered through that. And so prophets encourage and they exhort the body of Christ, especially in their work that they're called to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to look at verse 1 and verse 3. Looking at the value of prophets, also the value of the gift of prophecy. Verse 1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. This is a letter not written to just the pastors, it's written to the church at Corinth. He's talking to the body of Christ. And there was a number of things that weren't good that were operating in the church at Corinth. But God has given this word, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, to the apostle Paul and his companions to write this letter, to help navigate this church through some troubled waters and some sins they were getting into, some things, a lot of compromise, and some bad teaching that was coming their way. So thank God for the word of God that came through the Apostle Paul that we have today to help navigate them and help them keep them on course. So what he was saying to them was pursue love. So he just got done, you know, this, of course, it wasn't broken up in chapters back then, but we have it now in chapter 13, you know, is known as the great love chapter. You know, if you have all these gifts, but you don't have love, if you operate with this and operate with that, but if you don't have love, you know, so what? And so he was saying that there's a better way for you to operate in the gifts and pursue love. And what's behind love is that we really care for people. We really want to see them prosper. We want to see them have light for their journey. And so there are people that God uses to confirm direction in their lives. And sometimes a prophecy will give direction for the first time, but it's up for that person to, Lord, I need a witness here. I want you to confirm it. It's not always good to run with a prophetic word, because when you get out there and someone says, why are you here? Well, I got a prophecy. Yeah, but did you check it out? You want to know the timing of that. So more times than not, a prophetic word will confirm something that you're already sensing by the Lord. That's why it's always important, beloved, to have a heart that seeks the kingdom of God first and that seeks his will. It's important that we keep our hearts open. We live in the Spirit, but we're called to walk in the Spirit. We're called to acknowledge God in all of our ways. We're called to test the word that someone gives. You test it, evaluate it. You want to make sure and to, well, Lord, when is this word? There's a lot of things that go with it. You can check out some good books that will give, there's wisdom with the prophetic ministry, but it's really important. And you see that we're to pursue love, especially that we would prophesy. And then verse 3, we find a plumb line. It's not the only plumb line for this, but it's one of them. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. So just during worship, you know, the Lord already gave me a word for Brother Charles, Shirley, and Miss Eileen here. And one I already had for Ryan Estes. I'm going to pray for him afterwards. We've been in touch, and the Lord moved on my heart, and I sent him something. I was so excited about it. And what it does, it gives comfort, it gives hope, and it propels people, you know, with especially if it gives direction. I remember the first word I received when I was late in my teens, and I didn't know that about me. And the word came on a sheet of paper, and it was passed up front to where I was sitting, not in the very front, and there was a little note, and it was what God's called me to. And I was reading this, but when I read it, it gave me hope. I'm like, wow, I felt special with that. I'm like, God, this is your plan for my life. And it consisted of two or three things. I still have that. And it's so neat because it's come to pass. It's been fulfilled and is being fulfilled. And so I went through a period of about 2 years of getting a lot of words. And some of them at the end said, Lord, I just thank you that he's going to seek you about this. And that was a good word of wisdom because I sought the Lord concerning those things and he confirmed those. And so that's really neat to see those things come to pass. But like these words I have, the Lord gives me an image and I just write it down and it's going to encourage. Some will give light as to, hey, this is happening already in your life or it's about to happen and you can write it down. And what it does, it forewarns us or forearms us. It fortifies us. It makes our spiritual senses, helps them to be alert. Hey, God's speaking. It's a beautiful gift, and it's to be used. It's not to be put under a bushel, you know. And so we're talking a little bit about that tonight. So we are to pursue love. I love you with the love of God, and I pursue that. But I'm also desiring the gifts of the Spirit, whether it's healing. So I see, in my life, I see God, there's the gifts of healings that flow and prophetic word in different forms of that. And you think about your life, what gifts have been flowing in your life? And still, if you're out there saying, well, I still don't know, well, that shouldn't be too much longer because you've been given a gift or gifts and you want to know what they are. A lot of people here have been blessed through the gift of encouragement, and some prophesying through Sandra Eccles. Amen? How many of y'all have been blessed, you know? It's like, wow, she just comes, and she just has an awareness and releases. You just scoot right on over there and just release that word at the right time, and it encourages you. She gave a word to Rhonda and I last year sometime, and it was like, yeah, you know, it's like, this is right, and we knew that. And I just received that. What was so neat was that the Lord was, I was saying something about Rhonda right there during worship service and thanking God for putting us together. And she comes and gives a word that had to do with that. You know, but about a month later, my wife and I went through some really tough trials. God knows what he was doing. What he did, he forearmed us with that word. It's a real gift and it's needed in the body of Christ. So thank you for your obedience, Sandra. That was a real gift. Third thing I want to say about the prophets and the gift of prophecy, go to 2 Chronicles, not Corinthians, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, is that through their ministry, prophets and those who accurately move in the gift of prophecy or step out, and it could be 90% right, you know, God uses us imperfect people. We're growing in accuracy in that gift. But he uses them and that gift to help people take courage in their roles. So in this chapter, 2 Chronicles 15, when you look at verses 1 through 6, if you just look at verse 1, it says, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah. And then he went out to meet Asa, king. And he said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Seems like the Lord always sent a prophet when someone became a king and gave him a promise. And it sounded like this. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now forsaken wasn't utterly leaving them. It's like he lifted his favor off of them. And that's not a good thing. And as long as the king sought the Lord, the kings prospered. Y'all know it takes diligence to keep seeking God, to stay hungry. It's like the Lord told me, son, keep pressing in, keep crying out to me for the people. Because two things are going to happen. It's going to keep your heart tender and sensitive towards me and towards them. And when your heart is sensitive and tender, you're more pliable in the hand of God. But you're sensitive to hear. You're emptied of yourself. The Spirit fills you. Oh, it's so important to be filled with the Spirit. These things just really don't happen unless you're filled with the Spirit. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to hear. You're sensitive, and He communicates. That's how God communicates to us and makes His word real to us. Then you get to verse 7 and 8. But you, be strong and do not let your hands be weak. This is a prophetic word, a word of exhortation to them, for your work shall be rewarded. He's given them a promise. And then verse 8, and when Asa heard these words, was with the people, and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. How many of you received a prophetic word before? Somebody came, or you phone call, or someone came to you, and or God by His Spirit highlighted a word, and it caused you to you just took courage. It does. It's wind in the sails, and you took courage. God spoke to me, and so that's one of the values of prophets and the gift of prophecy operating. Go to Acts 15. Chapter 15, prophets exhort and strengthen the believers with their words by the Spirit. Look at verse 32. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren, Christ's life family, with what? Many words. There was just like a lot of prophetic words that were going. You know, they over the group or individuals calling people out. And so they were very exhorted. And what they shared strengthened the people. It's like God located them. Second Chronicles, go back there. It's easy to remember, like 2020 vision, you know. And that's one thing, when the Spirit of the Lord speaks, He just gives you accurate vision, helps us to see. So 2 Chronicles 20:20. So they rose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe as prophets, and you shall prosper." So you see two things happening here. Believing the prophet's words from God is part of being established and prospering in the will and the plans and favor of God. Prophetic voice is very important. It really does. It gives direction. It's not limited. If someone's not a prophet, they can operate in the gift of prophecy that gives direction. So when God gives direction, and that person, pastor or myself, Russell, it just speaks it out. It's like gives you light to go in. So I remember a word, launch out into the deep, and it gave a promise of what God's going to do. And if we were to act on that, we would prosper and we would advance in the plans of God. You would discover some more things of God by launching out and going deeper with God individually and as a church than if we were just not. I remember sharing with you when I was in Maryland and the Lord gave me a vision. Patrick and I were praying, and we were praying for Hosanna, and I saw people on a silver escalator, but it wasn't the stairs. If you've gone to the to the airport, you know, they have those, you just step on it and you can walk and it just takes you, it's really cool. And you see other people, they didn't want to, they're just walking, you're walking your normal pace, but you're just kind of going by them. But I saw people. And it was like they were on this escalator. It was silver. And they went, and there was stop. But then it came back. And that's happened again. They went and came back. I'm like, Lord, what's this mean? So, well, there's work that's happening, and the people are going, and there's preparation by some, and good things are happening on a Sunday, and that's good. But then Monday and Tuesday comes, and the people are sliding back. Now, I wouldn't go as far as saying, he didn't say they were backsliding, like backsliders, but they're sliding back and getting into just like a norm, and then getting geared up to Sunday morning again. Things happen and it's good. Monday, Tuesday. So it's still maintaining, still saved. You know, it's not even an issue. But what happens is they weren't doing this. Sunday, next Sunday, next Sunday, next Sunday. See, we're advancing, advancing, advancing. And some things are going to be on a Sunday. Good things happen. But God navigates his people. He is a governor. He governs. He used the tongue, like in James 3, to steer a whole ship in the right direction. Just a little rudder, a little tongue that God creates, the fruit of the lips, will navigate a church in different areas, different seasons. And he goes from one topic to another, just like when he took the Israelites through the wilderness. He was taking them somewhere, but on the journey, they had things to learn. And you know, in that case, Moses wasn't at fault, but it was a lot of the congregation, wasn't it, in that case? Y'all don't take this wrong. But when I shared that with the people on that Sunday, you know, what the Lord's saying is, we need to take hold of what's being shared. And so you take something like this prophetic word, and God speaks to you. So we're not doing a series. I don't know what's next. But on Sunday nights, there was a pathway God was taking and moving, and people were being healed, and people were being revived. People were coming that could come and that were able to come. It's a hunger. There's a hunger that's there. And there's as Pastor and I were talking about this the other day, it's a blessing. You have different aspects of different services, and they have a different nature about it, and it's just multifaceted, and it's rich, and it's a blessing. Well, listen, Jesus is a shepherd, and we need to listen because he's navigating. He wants to take us somewhere. And so we want to take and we want to grow, so we're not just, hey, that's good, and then just go back to a norm. And just come back, some preparation, good. See, God wants us, he gives light, and we're going somewhere. If we could really see what's happening in the world, do you know that there are people, and there's Satanists and all of that, but it's mega multiplying, millions, and the New Age movement is picked up, escalated, is growing very fast. But there are people, it's not so much underground now, it's footmen that are actually preparing with knowledge for the Battle of Armageddon. And we're talking millions, y'all. But the church is so in the dark about what's happening out there and how adamant they are in preparing for the Battle of Armageddon. They know it. They have the Bible. In Revelation 19, they go to make war against the saints. They know Jesus is going to split the sky. It's in the Bible. And yet you have many believers that are still in the dark. They still think they're going to heaven and being there forever and ever and ever. And they don't understand. And the devil is really at work. He's a deceiver. He wants to cloud the mind. And you find many believers that aren't reading the word. Many that are have fallen into sin, addictive sin. And the cords of their sin hold them fast so that they can't advance. Some just barely make it. And they slip out. That's a bad state to be in. But God provides. Even tonight, there's victory provided. There's an anointing that's present that will break the yoke. And our part is to humble ourselves and say, I need freedom. There's a stronghold on my life or a foothold. And I don't want either a stronghold, and I don't even want the devil to have a foothold. Nope, he's under my feet. He's behind me, and I want to walk in complete liberty. And for that to happen, I've got to come to Jesus. I've got to be honest. I need to confess to him or to someone that I can go to, just whoever he leads me to, say, I need help. Amen. And we don't have time to be in bondage. We've got a work to do, and God wants to equip us because we're coming closer and closer into the end of the last days. And if the enemy and his cohorts are adamantly working feverishly in preparation, how much more should we be awake to what is happening spiritually? Church, come on. We're called to be a glorious church without spot, in peace with God, blameless. And we've been hearing words a lot on Sundays about warfare, about being equipped, and we need to use that sword. If you don't use the sword, the word of God, the enemy can, you're not going to win with your shield of faith. You can only hold that so long. Any more than a football team's going to win with just a defense. Football teams don't win with just defense. You got to have an offense that's going to get that ball across the line. Amen? Amen. Y'all smile at me when I'm telling you good things. That was 2 Chronicles 20:20. So believe in the Lord God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you will prosper. I did a questionnaire. I just sent it out with some. And how has the prophetic gift in your life blessed you? In what way have you personally been blessed when the Spirit spoke to you through someone else? Whether it was encouragement, light for your pathway, or in simply acknowledging what you were presently going through. And so some responded. One said, simply encouragement. The word really touches so much. First, that can bring peace or comfort. Prophetic words bring confirmation and understanding. They're not to bring direction, but confirmation. They do bring direction, but it's not the ultimate. That's for you to get that, but they'll confirm that. The word I got at a conference helped me with understanding. So often I feel like something is wrong with me, or I've blown it, and that's why I keep hitting a wall and why my ideas fall flat. This person had no idea who prophesied over me. She didn't know me. She mentioned dormant gifts that need right connections and a right environment. That brought understanding that it wasn't all me. That brought comfort, encouragement, and hope. That was just a prophetic word, did all that. Another said, do you have knowledge of how an engine works? I'm going somewhere with this. The gift of prophecy has served to be many sparks of ignition to the inner workings of my life. If you can imagine my life as an engine, many cylinders up and down, working, rotating, roaring, functioning, and I believe the Lord has seen me on occasion grow weary and slow, grinding to a halt. And I like to imagine a cylinder head slowly rising to the top of the chamber, rising, rising, building, building, slowing with opposition, stopping with exhaustion at a place called top dead center. And then, bang, the spark of a spark plug lights up a perfectly timed fuel automation right on top of the cylinder head. And the engine roars to life and continues firing, and the vehicle moves forward. That is how a timely prophetic word from the Lord has served me as a spark of ignition. Yo, that was pretty elaborate, wasn't it? Wow, what a word picture. Yes, it does. You know, that's amazing. Another said, each and every time he speaks through someone to me, it encourages me, because in those moments, the fact that God sees me, hears me, and is actually speaking to me becomes very, very real. Simply put, he's made manifest, especially when there's no way the person he's using has any prior knowledge. Isn't that wonderful? See, the Lord hears us. He knows us. I want to close with this, something about the prophetic ministry. Remember, when we open our hearts, it's very important to be in the Word a lot, pray in the Spirit. You grow. You're around other veteran disciples. Good to be around those who operate in that gift. You glean from them. Tell me what you learned. Nobody's arrived. God always stretches people, you know. And I'm always being stretched. Step out a little further. Step out. And I used to have to write down a lot of things. Sometimes still do. Other days, son, just trust me. I'll bring it to your remembrance. All right. Sometimes you get 7 things, 10. And he's like, don't write it down. Trust me. I'm like, wow. That's stretching me. Other people are just, man, they're way out there, you know. And it just keeps you humble because it's a gift. God does it. It's by his Holy Spirit in there. He knows how to communicate to you. So when God reveals something, that's revelation. And what you want to do is, just like I got these images here for about 3 or 4 people. Lord, what does this mean? And if I don't receive anything, I'll still share it and trust God to give it to that person, because they know what's going on and they'll know what it means. And then you ask for application. How does this need to be applied in my life? So one thing that's really cool in a course that we took, I'm going to ask Kevin to come on up here. A lot of the CLFers went through this, a book by Chris Volatin. And in chapter 1, the purpose of prophetic ministry was just very rich. He said many of us are familiar with Jeremiah 29:11, where God spoke to the Jewish people, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and so forth. Interesting, God made that statement to his people while they were in Babylonian captivity for a period of 70 years because they disobeyed him. They were getting what they deserved. It was under divine discipline. He warned them, and yet God came to them with this prophetic word. In spite of their behavior, the prophet Jeremiah spoke an encouraging prophetic word to them. God often uses prophetic ministry in the same way today, addressing people's, listen to this, addressing people's potential and not necessarily their present condition. Some people sadly use the prophetic gift to call out people's sins all the time. Now, that will happen at times. There was a young lady that came to be healed, and we were praying, and the Holy Spirit just said, ask her if there's known sin in her life. So he did that. And very gently, I said, hey, we just need to hold on a moment. The Lord does want to heal you, but he had me ask you this question. And when I asked her the question, she just, she goes, yes, there is. It was so beautiful because she was just very transparent, very hungry. And I said, you don't need to tell me that you feel you need to, but you need to confess that to the Lord. And is the nature of sin something you have to deal with? Go back home and make some decisions. You know, sometimes you can't just confess it. And you're all, some people have to go back and break off the things. And that's what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, I counsel you, break off of your sins by helping the poor. So Nebuchadnezzar had to break off and get into. And Daniel said, perhaps there'd be a lengthening of your posterity. And Nebuchadnezzar, a month went by, 2, 3, and he still wouldn't repent. And God was being patient. 8 months, 10, 11. And 12 months later, he went out on his palace and said, look at the kingdom that I have made. And the same messenger from heaven came again and gave the judgment. He turned into somewhat like a beast. And for a period of seven months, he crawled around like a beast. And he came to his senses at the end. You talk about a merciful God. And he humbled. God humbled him. And he repented. God restored him. Amazing God we serve. It doesn't pay to hold on to something that God's saying, let go of. Because he wants to prosper us. And one thing God looks for, and one thing the prophetic word taps into, is your value, your potential. I don't have time to read any more of that. It's just so rich, so good. You know, if someone had need of healing, and it was just a call to come, people, just with a little bit of faith, you come. If you have need for direction, encouragement, and you have a little bit of faith, there's a gift, the prophetic gift operates through Pastor, operates through Sandra, operates through Raphael, operates through Rhonda, or even just, you know, I would want someone to pray for me. And you don't even have to say what it is, but we're called to pray for one another to this end, that we would stand and get light, get insight. But I do have something to share with Charles. I want to pray for you. I'm going to give it personally to you in a moment. Shirley, when I saw you back there, it was like this beautiful flower, but the stem was just long. It just stood above, you know, a lot of the flowers that were average in a garden. It was really neat. And then it turned into an oak tree. And then the Lord gave me Isaiah 61, verse 3. You just have a history of being faithful to God. And you've grown in his estimation an oak tree. Because we're not born oak trees. And you've grown into that. But you're the flower, the fragrance of your faithfulness. Because faithfulness is so big to God. You know, someone finds a penny on the side of the road, a lot of people just walk over it, even a dime. Some people will pick a dollar up because it's so common. Well, if they see a $50 bill or $100, they scramble. It's rare to find a $100 bill on the side of the road. You're rare. And it's so big to God to find someone that's been so faithful over so many years. And he just says, you're an oak tree. And the splendor of the fragrance of his life and his knowledge through you spreads. And though there's more people in heaven that know about you than on the earth, Lord, thank you for Shirley. Thank you for Hyla. And what I love about when he shows me that, my estimation of Shirley just grew more. Because I got to see that. I got to hear. And it's just amazing that God esteems us. It's beautiful. Amen. Charles, come on up here. And other people, if you don't mind, just stand. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I'm going to share it with you. And Ryan, come on up. We're going to pray for you. And why don't you stand over here next to Charles, keep him company. And Ike, if your children don't have to go. I would like to pray for Ebibechi and Fetchi if they don't need to go. There's just on my heart to pray for them, that God's going to give them a word of encouragement. And I have a word for Miss Eileen. And okay. If you have need for healing, if you have any need, just to open your heart to be encouraged. This is just what I have so far, because God's going to give more. If you have faith, God responds to that, and He'll answer. So if you want to come up and just be prayed for, I just need God to speak. I want to partake of this gift. Then come, just come up. Or if you just want to, just ask the Lord. But I want to know what my gift is. I want to operate my role. Or if you've been sliding back, you're one of those that just, I don't have vision. I don't have vision. I'm just going, and I get that, and I go back, but I'm not taking ground. And you want to take ground in your life. And just come. Just come. God will give you vision. He'll give you direction. I want you all to move this way like this. There we go. Amen. I mean, y'all just line up. And is it for, what would you be here for?
Healing.
Encouragement. Prayer. Whatever God has. Yes. For yourself and your son. Okay? And I'd like Jacob just to be available to pray. Rhonda and Russell and Willie. If y'all want to come, if you feel drawn to come and pray, those that I've called. Pam, you too, if God, you can come up and pray for some. Thank you, Lord. Y'all just focus on Jesus and be patient if you can. And Richard, you've come up to be encouraged, pray for. Or I want to pray for your eyes.